Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are two great themes that run through Isaiah 6. The second cannot be realized without the first. First is the holiness of God. Second, mission of man. In this magnificent chapter, which we recall every Sunday in our worship, in the glorious sanctum, we are brought face to face with that great mission, the great vision that Isaiah had in the temple. Temple of God. Where he beholds our blessed Savior in all his glory. And especially we note in our text in his holiness. What is this holiness of which he speaks, of which the angels sing, and which we in our worship and our lives so desperately seek to reflect to him and to our world? Kadosh, Hebrew, holy. What's it mean? This great abstract, this vague generality that so seems to escape us throughout our lives, whether we try to think of it cognitively, reach it in our lives, touch it with our hands. What is it? For unless we perceive and grasp what this great teaching of God means, we will not be able to realize the latter, the mission that is given to us in verse 8. At least let's begin there. That great gulf, that great separation between God and his universe, that in no way would permit us to identify one with the other in any way, shape, or form. He who is totally separate unto himself, totally complete, he from whom all comes into being is complete within himself. He has no one and no need for anyone to assist him in any way. Total accept. But is that all we can say about holiness? God is. Though it goes beyond that which is totally separate and apart from our world and creation, the holiness of God would speak also of his perfection. That there is nothing that he lacks in his very essence and being, his makeup. He is everything and all that he would and needs to be. No wonder the angels must before him praise and bow and cover eyes as do we and kneel in humble and fearful awe. He is perfect light, in whom there is no darkness at all. He whom our earthly eyes cannot, dare not see, is in his splendid grace and love. Is not all either, Kadosh. There is yet more. There is, I would say, that fearful side to Kadosh holiness. That he who is separate, he who is holy, he who is sufficient unto himself, is antithetical to sin and to darkness as he is light. He is not a neutral deity who sits out there and ponders the great deep thoughts of the universe. But he looks with compassion and with anger upon his very children whom he created. For For he is the one who has said he will tolerate no sin, nor can any man approach him with sin. God will not abide sin. Take those out, boy, off to the word terror, devoted. That which is so devoted to God, totally his, that if it is antithetical to God, it is terror, it is destroyed, as were the Moabites. That which is cherem to God is destroyed by Baal. And that which is loved by Baal must be destroyed by God. That's the vision of our blessed Savior. Kadosh Hu. But we have said nothing about you and me here. We have with fearful lips attempted to speak some words about him. But what about us? And so I say to you, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. And so you have, and so have I. That in this word we have reflected and seen what he has seen. And we know where we stand, for the words are true. Woe is me. Not simply an expression, woe of, oh my, isn't that terrible. But woe with the anticipation of its consequence and results, and we know from his word what it is to be under the wrath of God. How can we pick up verse 8? When he himself, our blessed Lord, says, whom shall I send? How can we dare speak it or touch it or respond to it until we have dealt with our woe? So we find unholy, not dedicated to him, not his alone, not totally enveloped in his will and his word, but we are enveloped in our own cares. We are the veils unto ourselves. As we speak by holy God. No wonder as the word of judgment, as the vision of holiness crosses before us, we turn in fear and trembling and in despair and hopelessness, for there is nothing in my vision that offers hope or glory. What shall we do? How do we return to the vision, not in fear, but in joy? Listen to the text. He touched my mouth. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Sin. I confess, translated without transitive verb. Your sin forgiven. That is absolute concrete and has all the punch and drive we need. Your sin forgiven by the one who alone came through the Blessed Virgin, walked our life, and assumed within himself our unholiness, our Baalism, our self-centeredness, our rebellion, our guilt, our iniquity, our death, our all this. He grasped to his own heart, took it from us, and by that death, where the holy blood of Christ poured on that wooden tree, declared me Kadosh. Kadosh. One who can approach him who alone originates Kadosh. For there is no Kadosh apart from him. All of those concepts originate with this person. They are not abstracts that wait in eternity for some being to fill them. So we can have the temerity to say, I am holy. By his blood and his word and his life and his death. And from thence I can heed that word. And I heard the voice say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Mission is the end of holiness. To speak the word to a world and to our people as we become pastors, that's our mission. We who have been declared holy by his grace speak the holy word to all the world so they too might see this vision of our Lord. Now, praise, thank, and say, send us. Send us. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ.